Welcome to the Kathmandu Coast to Coast podcast, a podcast that's dedicated to helping you get from New Zealand's west coast to the South Island all the way across to the east coast by running, biking and kayaking your way through some of New Zealand's greatest scenery. As always, this podcast is brought to you by the great folk at Team CP, your endurance coaching specialist. And again, as always, it's a privilege to have Mr. Team CP here with me, Richard Greer. Welcome back.
Good stuff. Thanks for that, Angus. It's a third show, and as we build up to 2021, it's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, number three of season two.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and it's pretty easy to get people on board. Like, there's so many good people that are doing great things around the coast to coast and done great things. We've got a really exciting show online tonight.
Yeah, and isn't it funny when you go and ask somebody, would you come on our show and talk about the coast to coast? You know, anybody and everybody who's been involved with the coast to coast has an undying passion that lasts forever, it seems.
Yes, absolutely. And everyone's got a story, haven't they? Everyone's got a, hey, that went really well story, but generally everyone's got a, oh, that was a bit interesting, and as part of their story as well. So it's always really good to hear and learn from different people. We're going to do a bit of learning tonight, aren't we?
Yeah, and I'm quite excited to hear our last story of the night tonight. We just heard a wee snippet of it before in the green room backstage, and it's a good one. It's a real good beginner's guide.
Absolutely, that's right. So Matt Bain, we're going to finish off with him in terms of his paddling and how he's getting on with that, which will be good. Is he just getting into the swing of things? We're going to have a bit of a chat to Trish Hasty, who it was her first time that she did the Coast to Coast two-day women's event this year, and we're going to kick off with Sam Manson shortly as well. But just wanted to recap from last show. We had Christina Anglem on board, and she described her Coast to Coast experience in terms of how she won the longest day event one year, that it was, but she won it a bit ugly. It was pretty tough. And then she went back and went really well the following year. And she flicked me an email just following up on that. I just wanted to sort of share that as a kickoff to this show and recap the last one. Basically, she said at the finish, I'm just going to read this out word for word. So, yes, I meant to say it's not what happens to you in the race, but how you manage it. That 2004 mishap, I managed it terribly despite the best preparation. But we learn the most from the shocker races, which is why I think in 2005 went so well for me. Stuff always happens. It's how we respond to it that matters, whether it distracts us and slows us down or whether we feel energized and stronger for recognizing it. How cool we just responded to that particular mishap. So the coast to coast really draws the best out of us. So that was Christina just sort of summarizing up her experiences of how she dealt with that and how we learn and effectively are better people as a result.
Yeah, a sign of a really good athlete there that has been through the ringer, been through a terrible time, but actually picked the socks up, pulled them back up and gone, actually, I'm going to learn from that and make good.
Yes, absolutely. Yep, for sure. Well, should we kick into our first guest, Angus?
Yeah, look, our first guest tonight, Sam Manson. He is a bit of a character of the coast to coast and a local Christchurch lad here, well known in our area. You know, he's a bloody good guy, actually, all round us, Sam. Right involved with top sport kayaking, helping people get their grade twos and things. But it doesn't matter where you run into Sam, whether you see him on the bike or see him on his feet, he's always ready to give somebody some advice, especially when it comes to coast to coast.
Yep. Yeah, and support and encourage them as well. Sam, come in.
G'day.
No pressure, mate.
Yeah, no, how's it going? It's great to be here. Happy to join in with the segment and give out some advice. That's what I'm here for.
Good stuff. So let's kick off, Sam. A bit of background for a start. How long have you been racing in the coast to coast? And actually, what's your sporting background prior? Because a lot of people come from maybe a team sport background and get into this. What's your background and how long have you been competing in the coast to coast?
Yeah, my first coast to coast was 2013. And before that, I'd done probably two multi-sport races to get ready for it in 2011 and 2012. Mm-hmm. Before that, I finished high school in 2009. That was my last year of high school. So it wasn't until 2013 that I did the coast to coast when I was, I think, 21 years old. But in high school years, my sporting history was, I was good that I started whitewater kayaking when I was 15, and that made a huge difference in my preparation for the race. But as far as running and cycling goes, there wasn't a lot of that. I did a bit of running. I like to be fit. I run a couple of days a week, but I certainly wasn't excelling by any means. I just did it to be healthy. Maybe a little bit of hockey and a little bit of grassroots rugby, but very, very light on that. Yep. Otherwise, that's me.
No, so as an adult, sort of the coast to coast and the multi-sport thing is kind of what you've done, and you've built up and grown sort of around those three disciplines.
Yes, yeah, I've learned so much since I started, because even though the first one was 2013, and you know, in hindsight, it was a great result, but I mean, so much went wrong on that day. If you think about that, but I can also focus on the great things that happened on that day as well, yeah. Leading into the consecutive years that I did the race after that as well.
Yeah. What's your coast to coast that you're most proud of and why?
Well, any of the races that I wanted to sort of slow down or stop that I didn't. I mean, probably the one the most, 2015, when my chain broke. I'd actually taken 3 months leave without pay off work before that race. So I'd really committed for the biggest I'd ever had for that right for the race in 2015 at the time. And my chain broke straight out of the transition after the mountain run, so the short bike stage. And, you know, it just seemed to break that momentum. And I had to find a way to deal with the situation. It took a while. My support crew helped me out. We ended up finding a replacement bike, which is just a small ladies' bike. It didn't really fit my cleats. But nevertheless, yeah. And then on that stage, I'm spinning away, not very comfortable. I'd lost quite a few minutes, and then people are just starting to pass me. And it wasn't until 2 hours into the paddle that I actually got momentum back and a positive attitude back. And, you know, there was definitely plenty of thoughts thinking I wanted to bail on that race, because I come there to win, not to come in, you know, 10th, 15th or whatever. So, yeah, where
were you were going well at the end of the mountain run, weren't you? What sort of place were you in then?
Oh, I can't remember. Probably I was around at least fourth, I think.
Yeah. But right at the pointy end, mixing it up, and then that happened, and then that's kind of game over. But as we've talked about in the intro with Christina, it's not – it's how you deal with it. And as you say, that's what you're most proud of.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Nice. Definitely. Have you got a fail story? Because coast to coast, we always have a fail story.
I've made a big list of fails. On here, the fails go down to about here. Because I've got so many great stories. I mean, you can really focus on the things that went wrong. But, I mean, what the best fails would have to be from the 2013 race, my very first coast to coast. And so they include me basically going the wrong ways on Goat Pass, ended up on the wrong side of the river, having to swim across the Deception River. And it was a big, deep section where it wasn't moving very fast. And I swam across because I realized I was on the wrong side. I saw Luke Vaughan running up the other side of the trail in my backpack. I didn't have anything in a dry bag. So everything got saturated. And I was carrying, you know, almost 10 kgs of wet clothing for the rest of the run. That was definitely a big fail. And then other things like trying to take shortcuts on the braided section of the river when really there isn't really any shortcuts. You just think there are. And I got stuck a lot.
Yeah. Again, just trying to race and trying to go fast and then rather than keeping your head up so much. And that's the learning, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. And obviously you've got your name down on the start list for this year's longest day, having a year off last year. Obviously, the goal is to win it and see how good you can go. You've been having some good form at the moment. Well, what's going to make sure that you do well in this build-up? And what will you try and execute better in 2021?
One of the awesome things about this sport, endurance sport, is that you just seem to get better the more time you put into it. So the more years that you're in the sport, the more training, you know, consistent training you're doing year-round. Of course, you do need to recover. But, you know, if you spend time doing these sports year after year after year, especially as I'm growing as well, because I'm only 29, and you do kind of peak around about this age, maybe in your mid-30s, is that each year I've just been improving a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. And I've got that on my side. I know, I'm absolutely certain that I'm going to be better at the moment every time I turn up a year later because of just that time training. But I've also spent a significant amount of time working on some of the small weaknesses, like some of my cycling and some of my endurance. But it all seems to just become together as I get older as well, which is really exciting.
I'd like to say you're peaking your early 40s, Sam. But that's
good. Man. Plenty of time.
Yeah, exactly. You're a coach. You coach people for the race, and then you're also heavily involved in the kayaking side of things. You're a kayak guide, and you've helped a whole bunch of people become confident on the river, develop the actual love of paddling as well. I'd like to go through the WIMAC as a key stage, because obviously you've got a really intimate knowledge of that based as a competitor, but also looking at it from a client's eyes of people that you're guiding down the river. So looking, I've got a few different bullet points here that I'd like to head through, and your key to one or two tips in each one. So the first point I've got here is getting started. What are your one or two key points if someone, hey, wants to do the race? How do they best get started into paddling?
Yeah, well, it's going to cost money to do the race. And it's going to be really easy to look for cheap options. You're going to just look for a cheap kayak, and you're going to look for a cheap paddle and a cheap spray skirt. And that's actually going to cost you a lot more money in the long run. So get some good advice. Find someone who knows the waste really, really well. You can come talk to Tot Sport. You can come talk to some of your local clubs or other service providers, and they will helpfully help you with advice on what a good first choice kayak is and what a good first choice paddle is, and buying good gear, good quality spray skirt in PFD, probably brand new, is much, much better. You know, stuff that just leaks, and then you got to buy another pair anyway because that last pair didn't work. Ask advice to get your gear, and then once you've got your gear, then you can begin training. But the last thing you want to do is buy some dodgy gear.
Yeah, good stuff. That's great. And what about the grade two? Because that's a key part of getting started as well. And that's often where we begin to love paddling, or actually become quite apprehensive about it as well if that process isn't handled very well. Guidelines are all kept tips around that.
Yeah, so the grade two course, which you can it's a certification course where everyone's trying to get their certification for the race, which is a requirement. The grade two certificate means that you are ready to paddle down the Waimakariri River, and you're going to be able to control yourself and stay safe and choose some really good lines. Mm-hmm. Our courses, or any course that you go on, is designed to teach you those skills as best as we can in the amount of time that we have. But you just can't beat time practicing. So what you need to do is remember as much as you possibly can from any advice that you're given, and then going out and practicing, because you can't get ready for that sort of a environment in a short amount of time. You need to spend most of the summer, most of the year preparing yourself, because it's a new skill. Paddling down rapids in a 5-meter kayak is quite a skill. Picking those safe and ineffective lines while saving your energy. So you get on the course, take on board whatever's on that course, but you've got to, the most important thing is practicing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, like, we grow up running, we grow up cycling, we grow up swimming, but we don't grow up paddling. So it is a new skill. And that's one of the best things about it, isn't it? Actually, as an adult, challenging yourself to learn new skills and putting yourself out of your comfort zone. What about your first river trip? That's another point, isn't it? Actually, getting you on the river for the first time, you're kitted up, standing on the bank. What a key piece of advice that you give people that are about to come down the river with you in regards to paddling and doing their first river trip?
Oh, part of it is make sure you got the right gear. You definitely need to make sure that you're going to be comfortable, that you can stay warm. I remember one of my first river trips. It wasn't on the Waimakariri River, but it was a 5-hour section of river. And I had a couple of swims. I had quite a few swims, actually. And I got cold, really, really cold and wet. So having plenty of dry gear in a dry bag, but also having some food and having some people that you can trust. So making sure whoever you're going with, you can trust that you can look after them, or they can look after you, and or they can look after themselves as well. So making sure you're in a really safe crew, that you can work together, and that you actually are able to make good decisions on the way down. But, you know, if you are doing the practice in an easier environment and stepping your way up at the right speed, by the time you get to the Waimakariri as your goal, you should be prepared and know that you can make the decisions at the right time, trying to just sort of calm yourself down. But usually you're going to have bigger nerves on the riverbank. Once you get on the water, you usually feel so much better. You get through one or two rapids and the nerves go away, and you realize that you have got this because you've done it before, you've practiced enough, you've put the effort in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to talk specifically in regards to the WIMAC at the moment. And there's key features that you see on that river that you may not necessarily see so much anywhere else. For a start, the braided section at the top and at the bottom is a thing that is specific to that river. How do you teach people to tackle that? Because, hey, the river's going this way. How do you read that? What are your things you teach there?
Oh, I mean, the braids change every day. Every day the braids are different. You know, there's more water going this way than this way, and then suddenly the next day the most of the water's going the other way. And it's just the nature of the way the stones move. And it's very exciting because you can't memorize it. You have to read and run on the go. So getting the ability to read water far ahead. But the best advice I can possibly give is to just go where the most water is, so long as there's nothing unsafe in that direction, like a tree. But otherwise, where the most water goes is always the fastest way. Even if it looks like that body of water is going a longer distance, like a big corner, and there's a shallow bit of water going a nice straight line, always take the one with the most water because it is still faster.
Yeah, brilliant. And that's the beauty of it. It's the chess match. It's the thinking man's game, isn't it? You don't necessarily have to be the fastest, strongest paddler, but if you're the smartest paddler and picking and putting your boat in the right place, you can pass people. And that's really rewarding, isn't it? But it's frustrating when it happens the opposite way.
Yes, no, it's absolutely true. And it's happened to me a few times in my advantage. It's been great.
And what about like there's some pretty good wave trains at Hamilton Rapids, etc. What would your recommendations be like paddling a good body of water like that when it's hitting in your chest, etc., in your boat?
Yeah, well, waves are a lot of fun. And if you're in a really stable boat, you may choose to go down the middle of the waves because it can be really, really fun. It's usually where the fastest water is, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's the fastest for your boat because our boat's quite long and it will go up and down the waves. So if you can just get slightly next to the waves, then you're going to get the fast water as well as missing the big peaks of the waves. Yep. If you go too far away from the waves, you're going to nick the slow water and your boat might spin around. So you've got to be careful to find that fine line between where the waves are and where the slow water is. That bit in between is the fine line of a nice, fast and smooth route down the rapid. But most people will find they get too far one way or the other, either the slow water or the big waves.
Yeah, brilliant. And just to summarise, in terms of paddling and getting on the river, what's one or two key tips that you would give somebody that's looking to do the race for the first time and go and enjoy their paddling and enjoy the experience on the river?
Yeah, though, I mean, part of the reason why I enjoy kayaking so much is because I've gotten good at it. And so once you get better at a sport, same with running, once you're fit, you start to really enjoy running because you can go out and explore the trails and you can see some great views. It's the same with kayaking. You're trying to go to new places with interesting views and going with people that you enjoy hanging out with and making the most of your kayaking. Here in Christchurch, you can go paddling in the harbour and go around Quail Island. You can also, yes, of course, you can paddle on the Waimakariri River, but it's not the only river in the country. So wherever you are, you know, you can use your kayaking to explore, and that can make it a lot more fun. When I was in Auckland, I used to paddle out to Rangitoto Island, and, you know, it's really fun adventures. You can pack some lunch and head on out.
Yep, brilliant. So it is a matter of, exploring. But I think it's also important, isn't it, just to think about, if I fell out right now, what's going to happen? What's the worst that could happen? So then we do keep ourselves safe so we can enjoy those experiences as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, good job, Sam. Fantastic. Well, thanks for your time. All the best for your build-up. I think we might check in to see how you're getting on along the way as well. Always looking forward to cheering on and see how good you can go. But enjoy your summer of training and then also enjoy getting out and imparting all that knowledge and experience that you have in regards to the race day and the WIMAC.
Just quickly, Sam, how can people get a hold of you to get their Grade 2 certificate?
Oh, that's the Top Sport website, just topsport.co.nz, and all your information is on there. We also do mountain runs as well. But I think we've actually got quite a full schedule for the next couple of months before we begin our glider trip down the gorge.
Great. Good job.
And one more thing before you go here, and I think this might actually lead to an Instagram poll or something, Sam. Had a comment here from Gary saying, Besmo, Angus, or Sam? So maybe we may have to throw up on the CP MCP page, Insta page. We might have to throw a bit of a poll up there and see what goes.
I think I know the answer to that, but let's do that anyway. Yeah.
Well, Sam, I'm sure you're in a rebuild phase.
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent.
Cool.
Thanks, Sam. Guys. Thanks so much for your time. Go well, mate.
Cool. Cheers. Cheers.
Oh, there you go. Look at that. What a top guy, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. I always ask you this, and I'll continue to ask you this. Is it get you twitchy to get your boat back out again, Angus?
No, and I'll reply with the same comment that I always reply with. I'm not clever and I sold my boat, Richard.
Oh, I guess you can't. Oh, right. Okay. So if we come up with one, maybe. Okay, I'll keep working on that for you.
You never say never, do you? You never say never.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's jump to our next guest, Trish. You might have seen her if you're following the race and some of the media updates that were done before the race last year. There was a post that the Coast to Coast profile that they did on Trish. So Trish was, it was about, hey, the first time and the best time to actually do the race, and the time was right. Three young kids, 10, 8 and 6. Life was ticking along pretty well. Supportive husband that's sort of into this sort of thing as well. Let's go and have a crack at this Coast to Coast that I've been wanting to do for years and years. But let's go and see how good we can go. Should we grab Trish to see if she's in the background?
Yeah, 100%. Welcome, Trish.
Hi, guys.
And I suppose to start with, congratulations for, you know, completing last year, or this year as it still is.
Thank you.
Good stuff. But, Trish, tell us a bit of background. How did you find out about the Coast to Coast?
It was a teacher when I was about 11. Her husband used to compete in the Coast to Coast, and she inspired us and brought along his bib, and he used to come on school camps with us and tell us all about it. I just got the bug when I was about 11 and had been wanting to do it ever since.
Yep, brilliant. And it took a while to actually get ready for it. Like you sort of looked at it a few times along the way, but this was the right time this year.
Yeah, I looked at it when I was at uni, and I'm pretty glad I didn't attempt it back then. Just got to build up to these things. I don't think I quite had it in my mind what that kind of run was like, and just gear and things like that. And then once I had kids, I just sort of had, you know, once my last kid had started school, I would try and work part time and train during the week and still have time for the family, and that all worked out. So it was great.
Yeah, good. And that was my next question. How do you balance the training, the work and the family sort of thing? So it was actually the part-time work and sort of squashing it away so that you weren't taking up weekends so much.
Yeah, there was a bit of fast driving involved, but mostly I love being organised. I love timetables and things like that. So each night my husband and I would chat about what was happening the next day, and he was wonderful. And as soon as I decided I was going to do it, I got on to you guys and got Fiona as my coach.
Yep.
And she's very similar to me, with a busy husband and children and working part-time. And she was just amazing at understanding the program that I needed. And then working out, I've got days off, I can do things with the family. Just my training was just great. I loved having a program. It really put me at ease and, it reassured me I was doing enough.
Because that's the thing, isn't it? Often we think more is better, and we need to do more because it's a blimmin' long way. It's hard. So it's actually having those rest days someone telling you, no, you have to chill out today and go a bit easier today is really important, isn't it?
Yeah, I couldn't imagine how to build up for the kayak, and it was just great having a program especially for that, because I thought it was like running, that you'd build up in the weekends, but it wasn't.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
How did you feel standing on the start line? You've thought about this for years and years. You've prepared really well. You've been organised. You've dashed around, managed the kids, etc. How'd you actually feel? It's just Trish. It's just me. And now it's time to go and have a crack at this. How'd you feel there?
Yeah, I felt surprisingly calm. I thought I'd be much more excited, but I wasn't. I was just really chilled out. I had a warm up with Hayden. That was great, you know, just having lots of people around me that I knew, having Fiona there, you know, it was really calm. It was a lot calmer than I expected. Things went really well, so it's good.
And that's, a summary of I'm organised, I'm ready to go, I'm prepared for this. It's not like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? It's the same as an exam, isn't it? Like, actually, I've prepared as well as I could.
Yeah, and I saw a guy and he was in a onesie and I was like, well, he obviously doesn't know what he's up to.
Who was that?
Hey, Richard.
Oh, it was cold down there. I bet you wish you had a onesie on. I was wishing that I had a windproof onesie. It was a wee bit drafty, actually.
Yeah, I was a bit worried you weren't going to take it off.
It was only a couple of minutes before the start, who to end, I think I actually decided, I have to take this off now.
Yeah,
absolutely. Maybe you could learn from that.
Next
was
time.
The best part of your race over the course of the couple of days?
Not falling out of the kayak and getting to the end. you know, like as Sam said, there's just a lot involved. And I was really glad that I got advice from a lot of people about kayaking and that a lot of friends took me down. And yeah, I was really glad to get to the end without falling out. I saw a lot of people out of their boats. There was a lot of dodgy moments. And actually on the last bend, I nearly fell out. And then, as he said, I put my nose into an eddy and spun around like just before the finish. So just, you know, I was so glad that I got to the end. And, you know, I just had two lapses in like the final couple of hundred meters. So I was really happy not to fall out and to get there dry and pretty comfortable.
No, it wouldn't be a good time to be swimming across the finish line, but you're on a knife edge. I mean, everything, something could go wrong the whole time, all the time that you're in the boat, isn't it? So to be able to sort of to work that out and get all the way down is a fantastic result. What was the toughest part of your race? What was the time that you were hurting a bit or things weren't going particularly well?
That was the final ride. So I couldn't hang on to a bunch and I was riding solo. And so that was pretty tough. And it was cool. People were trying to pick me up, but I just couldn't hang on. And then my mother-in-law and sister-in-law and my kids were supporting. So that was really cool. But that was tough. You know, there were people going past me. I didn't quite get how the staggering worked in the race. And so I just thought I was out of contention. And it was tough.
And being in contention, it's your first time at the race, never done it before. Let's go and have a go at this coast-to-coast thing. You were actually leading after day one, weren't you? Which is pretty amazing.
Second
after day one.
You
had a really good mountain run, though, didn't you? And then with that bike ride, actually, I'm struggling, just feeling like you're going backwards. How did you actually end up?
Yeah, so I managed to still come in second at the end, but I didn't know how. Like, you know, I was really happy. I was still happy to be, you know, completing the race because it was such a big goal for so long. It wasn't like, you know, I was disappointed, but I would have loved to have hung on to a bunch and just sort of enjoyed that ride a bit more into New Brighton.
Trish, I've got a bit of a question for you. As a mother, and for all the other mothers out there, all fathers that have got this on their bucket list and things, and you know, one of the things, the difficult things, is trying to get training with kids and all of those things that go on in life. But did you manage to get your kids to buy into it? Did they help you train? Did they train with you, or did they buy into the whole thing?
Yeah, they did. They really loved taking us places. They loved the river. They loved Castle Hill. They, you know, they got to go out and have lots of adventures. I was training with my niece a bit, who was also doing the coast to coast. My dad was in my support crew. You know, they loved all those people around and being amongst it.
Yeah, excellent. So is there a future lot of coast to coasters coming through then?
Yeah, they could be endurance athletes, but yeah, we'll see.
How did it feel meeting your family at the finish line, Trish? How was that?
Yeah, it was really cool. It was really satisfying and just pleasing to know that all the sacrifice was worth it, because, you know, there were a lot of things I had to say no to, and there were a lot of times I would have rather been somewhere else. So really satisfying.
Good stuff. And as a first timer, giving a piece of advice to someone else that's doing it for their first time, what would you say to that as a summary of your experience, both training and then doing the event?
Yeah, just get advice from anyone you can. It's such, everyone wants everyone to get to the finish and have a good day. And I love that about the race. So get advice from everyone and take it on board. You know, Sam with your grade two, people that can take you out in kayak, people that can take you over Goats Pass, just listen to them and learn from them.
Yep. And that's the thing. It's such in a supportive environment. People are on race day. People are looking to support each other and help each other, aren't they? So, hey, sometimes it can come across as a big scary thing, but let's walk towards that challenge and hey, support each other and cheer each other on.
Yeah. Awesome.
Good job. Well done, Trish. Thanks for sharing your story, and super well done on your fantastic training and turning up and doing amazingly well on race day and digging deep when it was getting a bit ugly towards the end there. And we might see you in the longest day in a year or two to come, potentially.
Potentially. See how Fiona goes.
Yeah. Good stuff. Thanks, Trish.
Thank you so much, Trish. actually, when we were talking before, Richard, and trying to talk Trish into whether she's entered this year or not, which unfortunately she hasn't, it was a bit of conversation out there. For those that are listening, that is only September, so there is plenty of time to train. But word on the street potentially could be that the waiting list is actually coming down, as obviously the COVID world and things like that, some of our internationals aren't able to join. So, look, if you're out there watching this and you've got still got some inspiration and you've got that little burning light going on there, get in touch with the team at Coast to Coast and just find out, because who knows, maybe there may be a spot just come up for you.
Yeah, we've got no idea. I don't know what that is or where that is, but hey, there's it's a quite a different year than previous. So keep in touch and see what's happening there. Just on that, a note from Glenn. I asked him if there was anything that he wanted to pass on. He was talking about the working around what would happen if the race was run under a level two sort of situation. So the working through processes there. And then also the mountain runners entries are due to open soon as well. And they're running that as a ballot. So basically you've got, I think, about a week from memory to put your name in the hat, and then your name is drawn out of the hat. So it doesn't depend on internet speed. Out here at Kiwi, I could still actually enter the mountain run. So that's how that's happening. So and that's going to be coming around pretty soon.
Excellent. Actually, I was just thinking about what Trish was saying about, you know, the finish line and seeing your family at the end there, and how rewarding that is, and just winding the clock back to earlier in the year, Richard, and seeing your rugby team of kids there all at the finish line there for you. But if I wind the clock way back to when I did it, I can remember running down the Sumner Beach, and my kids and everybody were there. But yeah. I was running down the Sumner Beach, and to the left-hand side as I ran in, like sort of as you hit the straight for the thing there, I managed to catch the eye of my father in amongst of all the crowd and things that were there, and I caught the eye of my father, and that was right, and I carried on running up the beach. Well, by the time I got to the finish line, here he was standing next to Judkins already. So he certainly got the Strava section on that beach run. He managed to somehow get through all of the people and actually beat me to the finish line.
So he's zigzagging his way to the finish line still, but yeah.
Some pretty special moments come out of that race in all sorts of ways.
Absolutely, absolutely. Speaking of special moments, with Matt Bateman, who have been following on his journey, this is number three. He's been in the boat. He's been out, I guess, trying to suss that out, what that's all about. He's got his grade two lined up in a couple of weeks. Should we have a chat to Matt?
Yeah, Matt, welcome back.
Hey, g'day, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you? How's the progress?
Yeah, no, it's going well. So obviously, since we spoke last time, I was headed down to Arawa for the open day. To try out the kayaks and obviously meet the team down there. So I went along on the Saturday after and didn't really know what I was up to. Actually met Sam, who was just on just beforehand, and went out in the boat. And I think they kind of thought I knew what I was doing, but I actually had no idea what was going on, you know. So a bit of a play around to try and get me in a boat to see how I was going to go, obviously being a bit quite tall, so I'm 6'7". Managed to get in a boat, so we got out on the water, and then Sam was already out on the water and got out the side of him. And he said, "What are you up to, mate?" He said, "Are you take?" He actually said, "I'm not going to repeat what he said, actually." But he said, "What are you up to? You're trying to like wind me up." Anyway, I had my paddle upside down and back to front, but we worked it out soon after. But no, training's been going well now, so I sorted that out pretty quick. But other than that, it is scary, obviously, going out in the boat, and I hadn't done anything since years ago, getting out in the kayak. And then since then, now we've got our memberships down at Arawa, so I've been heading down once or twice a week. And we've had a couple of moments with my flatmate Tomo, who's doing the tandem with me next year. And yeah, we went out in the tent. Oh, yeah, tell us about that. Yeah, well, we went out. I actually went out at the start of the year with Matt Kelman, and I was in the back, and he was steering and doing the rest of it. So it didn't really matter if I paddled or not paddled, but I was just trying to just plot away, you know. And we went out the other day, and Tomo was in the front. He said, "No, I'll steer." You know, she's all confident about it, and then. Anyway, I started paddling away, and every time she went to turn or she saw a swan, she stopped. So anyway, she'd overcorrect, and then I'd paddle, and then she'd stop paddling. And I was like, "What are you doing?" Next thing, she'd turn the rudder the other way, and we go to paddle. Next thing, I said, "If there's any rowing boats out here, we're going to get snapped in half." So after about 5 minutes, a big argument, we'd done a 360. We had to pull up on the bank and swap over, and I got in the front, and we were fine. But it turns out she's actually scared of swans, so that's why she wasn't going to steer. And I don't think she will steer going forward, you know.
Yeah,
so, well, there doesn't need to be too many swans down the Waimaka area anyway.
No, it's good. For me, it's good getting out there now, and I guess it's obviously I'm learning these new skills, and Sam touched on it before. It's getting out there and doing it, you know, and just getting time. So rather than going for intensity, I'm just getting that volume up, and obviously training for a long time, but learning the little things, like not being in a kayak before. I've tried out the different boats now, and I've been a bit wobbly going out and about. And like, I'm confident with my running, and I know I can get better with my running. But getting on the water and just trying to learn those little things of when you start to lose your balance and whatnot, and just getting on, you know. And I've been out on the road bike a few times now as well, and just getting used to it, getting confident in it, you know. So I'm not going out there going, hey, you know, because I know if you do try and be too confident, too quick, you can get humbled or have an accident, and it'll throw you off completely. So just trying to like learn and just bide my time and like learning as much as I can. And when going out now, and I've been meeting other people, even down at the canoe club, you know, people will give you advice and tips and say, hey, don't use that or do this or this will help you. And it's good just to learn. And everyone's so, I guess, willing and keen to help out, you know, and that's a joy now. I've got a few mates getting amongst it as well, and it's quite cool to see, and everyone will throw each other a message and say, hey, should we go out for a bike or a run? And to do it now, we went out for a run on Sunday, and it was awesome. You know, I got out there at 7 a.m. on a Sunday, and it was about 18 degrees, so you can't complain about that.
That's great. What are you looking forward to in the month ahead there, Matt? So you got your grade 2 certificate, was it next week?
Yeah, next week, starting that next week. So getting amongst that now, and then obviously just getting some more the runs and whatnot, and obviously being the warmer weather, and just getting out in the boat. And like today, I just went down by myself, and I guess you want to get a bit more confident, you know, and then we'll just buy a bit more gear. Look to get a paddle and things like that I need to get, but yeah, just getting more confidence. So I'm just excited really to get out there and get amongst it and learn as much as I can really. So hopefully next time you see me, I'll get a bit more time under my belt with the kayak, and yeah, Tomo and I will be learning not to argue and fight when we go out, and a few more times out in the double. So yeah,
and you know, we always say, and you're just saying there, you know, you run into all these people along the way, and they're giving you all this advice, and everybody's helping you out. But I got to say, Matt, by having you on our show and us following your progress all the way through, you're actually already giving back to everybody else as well. We're all watching your journey. Anyone who's sitting there watching this thinking, can they do this or can't they do this? You know, you're a great example of starting from zip zero nada in some of these aspects. And we're just loving watching you, I guess, flourish and bloom and
that's all. Well, thanks for having me on the show, and hopefully if getting as many people out there doing it, and you know, be happy. So
excellent.
Well done, man. Keep up the good work, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next month and see how cold the water is in September in the South Island.
Yeah, I'm yet to be out of the boat, but I'm sure I will be after next week anyway.
Well done.
Yeah. All right. Thanks so much, guys. Okay.
Cheers, Matt. Yeah. Thanks.
Catch you next month. See you, Matt.
See ya. Just like that, Angus. Job done.
Just like that. Isn't Matt just coming along nicely there? And I bet we're going to have some more quality chat between now and the start of the Coast to Coast through his experiences.
To sum up the show, what's your key learning from today?
Look, you know, actually today, all three guests, as always, though, just positive attitudes. You know, the way that all three guests, both Sam, you know, Sam's been at the peaky end of the Kathmandu Coast to Coast for, you know, a few years now, and he's certainly had his trials and tribulations, but it doesn't rock him, it doesn't stop him, it just grows him and makes him bigger. And, you know, same with Trish, juggling family, juggling kids, juggling all those things. It's the positive attitude that gets you through, really.
Yeah, that's right. And I really like the way that Trish was talking about being organized, working with her husband to figure out what are we doing tomorrow, and hey, you can make it work, can't you, as long as you're prepared to be organized and fit stuff in and make sure that you manage life around recover well, etc., and then go and have an adventure and make the most of it.
Yeah, no, 100%, 100%. And that's, you know, that we always say that too, that, you know, Part of the whole thing is the adventure leading up to it, isn't it? And getting all those adventures with people and experiences and things.
Yep, absolutely. Good job. Well, number three, done and dusted in the can.
That's it, in the can, Richard. Big thanks to yourself. Big thanks to Team CP, the Endurance Coaching Specialist, for helping put this on. And, of course, to Kathmandu, you know, sponsoring the Coast to Coast.
Absolutely. And going forward, if you've got any questions you'd like us to share, answer, etc., specific people you even like us to talk to, feel free to comment on the live video or the flick us an email, etc. There's details at the bottom of how to get in touch with us. Always keen to share, always keen to help out, and that's what this platform is all about. So look after yourself, enjoy your training, have an awesome month, and we'll look forward to seeing you next month.
See you next month, Rich.
Good job. Well done.